Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. We're looking at this thing about enduring hardness as a good soldier. And I don't know how the military does now, but I do remember back during the 70s, a lot of my cousins had, some of them had joined to keep from getting drafted, some of them got drafted, some of them went to Vietnam, some of them didn't. But I do know one thing. Back then, when you went into the military, and I had a cousin that was a Marine, and I know back then, boy, they'd take a fella and they would push him past his limits. You know? That physically, mentally, they would push him past what he was able to bear. And a lot of them would, you know, fold up. But they didn't do that to hurt them. They did that so they would know. They would know what they was able to bear. And also, so that the person, he told me about one old boy, it got so, he just fell apart. And he went missing. They finally found him about a week later. He was hiding under the barracks. Been eating toothpaste. Well, sometimes in life, you say, well, we're Christian, God's going to watch after us. Well, we're going to look at a fellow by the name of Job again, and we're going to see God pushing him way past his limits. Beyond what he was able and capable to bear under, it was too much for him. And we find out he despairs of life. I know y'all have heard this said before. Boy, I'm going to make you wish you never been born. You've heard that before. I've had a few guys and a few fights I was in, and I was kind of feeling like that about the time that thing was over. I wish I'd never run into that fella anyway. But anyhow, over in the book of Acts, I'm going to read you an account of Saul, then we're going to go over and look at, again, we're going to go back to Job, but we're going to look at Brother Saul here. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now remember that when we did it in the least of these, we did it unto him. Lord, help us try to be careful about the way we treat one another. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. See, he knew that Paul was under conviction. He was suffering in his mind and in his heart and in his soul. I don't think he ever got away from what happened with Stephen. When old Stephen looked up, you know, and blessed those that were persecuting him. I think I kind of stuck in his craw after that. But he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now look here. Right there, I believe, is where he got saved. Right at that moment. The Bible said, that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And we see him right now. He whom he had persecuted, now he's calling him what? Lord. He recognized Jesus for who he is. He also recognizes himself for who he is, that he's been wrong. That's what it takes to get saved, by the way. A person's got to come to himself, realize that he's wrong, God's right. And we see him right here. He says, hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembling, astonished, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Not what he must do for salvation, but what he must do now that Jesus Christ was his Lord. He was there, he was getting marching orders. Amen? And everybody that ever gets saved, you're going to get some marching orders. God's got something for you to do. All of us. He's been inducted into God's army. And God's got something for him to do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, that Ananias is a different Ananias than the one that, you know, lied to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because he's dead, right? They done buried him. Remember that. I've heard people, they come out and they be teaching, and boy, they accuse this one of being such and such. It's not the same man, you know what I mean? It's not the same man. So it's important that, you know, when you look at names right here, that it's not always the same one. There's more than one John, there's more than one James, there's more than one Ananias. And this Ananias here was a disciple. And the Lord, in a vision, said to Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. God's getting him straight, amen. He's there and he's praying. I think that's amazing. I don't think that's no coincidence. He's there at a person's house on a street called Straight. God is putting him on the straight and narrow. And he says, and go to this house of Judas, and that's not Judas Iscariot, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. You remember the first time you really prayed? You remember? Where did it start with? Started with God, didn't it? He talked to you, then you started talking to him. Amen? You remember? I remember. 1984, my living room, God spoke to me. And people said, boy, man, when I got saved, everything got easy. When I got saved, everything got rough. I'm just going to be honest with you. Everything been running pretty smooth up until that time, but after that, boy, some things got rough. I mean, God, the Bible said that fiery trial, and it came into my life. And I said, God, if it's what being saved is, I don't know about this. But it wasn't no going back. God's going to put people in the fire. And notice what he says to Saul here. Behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. He said, God, are you making a mistake? Lord, are you making a mistake? You want me to go see this man? This man, you know, he's killing people. This man's having people threw into prison. If I go down there, is he going to throw me into prison? I mean, he's concerned. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see, He's going to be a witness. He's going to have a testimony. He's going forth to tell the children of Israel and the Gentiles and kings what God has sent him to say. And notice what he said. For I will show him how great things he must, didn't say could suffer, didn't say would suffer, he said must suffer. That's an important word right there. He said for him to have the kind of testimony that's going to be received and believable, he must suffer. You take people who've been in the fire and suffered some things, and people know about it. There's something about what they have to say makes them worth listening to. You see a person, everything, he's had it all easy all the time, and you know, and God hasn't, you know, taken and put him in very many tests, and nobody's seen us suffer, and how we behave when problems come our way. I mean, look, when you're down on the job and you get cussed out for no reason at all, people are watching you. You know? People are watching you. If you take it and return good for evil, people notice that. You know? It gets their attention. Now, you say let them fly into you, and you didn't do nothing wrong. Boy, they chewing you out, and you get mad. Well, I tell you one thing, buddy. You're wrong. I didn't do none of this. And blah, blah, and go back at them, you know, the same way they come at you. They notice that, too. They say, what's the difference? There's no difference. He acts just like everybody else. But he said, God said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. You know, you do know the Bible said it's given unto you not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. Paul said that I may know him. And the only way you're really going to know Jesus is you enter into his sufferings. Really intimately. The only way we can ever know Jesus real intimately is when we enter into his suffering. Paul said, I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. There's just certain things. Boy, hey, when you get into it, you men that's been in places, been under fire, whether it be in armed services, or say, even men in the church, where it's come under fire by people who was opposed to you doing the right thing. And you know, there's something about being together with somebody and going through some things. Boy, it just knits you together, you know. I went several times with Rock of Ages down in the Mississippi. And buddy, when you get down there and you get in that prison and you see some things and you start doing some things together and you see God moving and working, it just kind of puts kind of a bond in there. You know what I mean? I remember the first time being there, over 100 preachers standing up in there and singing praises unto God and hit them streets the next day. I mean, knocking doors at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm serious. Knocking doors at 6 o'clock in the morning. And boy, God just moved in that. You said, was there any persecution? I don't remember a whole lot. But I do remember this. There were some trials and situations. I remember that there was some violence that come up inside the prisons and everything. And buddy, I tell you what, before you went in there and they locked them doors behind you, you were pretty much praying, kind of prayed up before you got in there, because you didn't know what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You know that the day before, you know, they'd had to send officers in there and break up stuff. Violence. Well, there's just something about, you know, suffering with Christ Jesus. It builds a relationship, and knits you together in fellowship with him. And he said, right, what great things he must suffer for my sake. So Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were in Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound in the chief priest. They notice a change. And Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, notice this, the Jews took counsel to what? Kill him. The suffering has already begun to come into his life. The persecution. The hatred. You just, hey. Well, I figured that when I got saved, boy, you know, everybody would be happy. Huh? They weren't, were they? You know, and all these people thought you needed a little bit of religion. You know, you probably need a little bit of religion to, you know, straighten you out a little bit, because you're a little bit wild, and a little bit of religion wouldn't hurt you. And then you took the attitude like, I don't want religion, I want Jesus. Amen. I'm not that fond of religion. But a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's been wonderful. Amen. And here he is, Paul. They said, well, you know, it's good. Paul's got some religion, but now he's got Jesus Christ, and now they're taking counsel to kill him. They don't like him. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job. We're going to begin reading in chapters 3. Brother Melvin was praying this morning. I couldn't help but think about how important what he said was to what we're looking at this morning. Till you realize that God is in control, you're not going to understand. You're not going to be able to deal with a lot of things that come into your life. I know that all of you, as I have prayed for people and asked God, oh Lord, heal them. We love them. We don't want them to die. We don't want them to leave us. They got so much to offer. God, won't you just answer our prayer and heal them? But then God takes them. You say, what's the answer? I said, I can't tell you. Well, I don't know. All I know, just like Melvin said, God's in charge. And one thing I do know, God is going to do what's right. Every time. He said, but I don't like it. That don't make no difference. If we like it or don't like it, God is going to do what's right for every situation. And I'm assured of that. That's the only thing. And knowing that I look at Job, and we're going to look at it. Let me go ahead and read this, and then this maybe is to make more sense what I'm trying to say. In chapter 3, we know what's happened to Job. He's lost everything. He lost his cattle. He's lost his transportation. He's lost his servants, and now he's lost his children. And the only thing he had left was his health, and now Satan has come and taken away his health, and he's suffering things that we can't even begin to imagine. He's entered into the same kind of suffering as Jesus Christ. God is, and God takes it. God admit, look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, in verses 3, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him. And Job says that, it's God that put me here. It's God that's doing this to me. Over and over and over again, you'll have him hear him say, it's God that's put me here. God has hedged me in. God won't talk to me. God is causing me to suffer. And the only other one I know that ever suffered like that was the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased God, his Father, to bruise him, you see. This is for God's purposes. God has a reason. What God is doing is for everybody's good. And as a minister, as a servant, we're to offer ourselves up to God, to whatever God wants to use us for, that we're available. He's an example. We can look at Job and see what he suffered, but we knew who was in charge, right? All in all, it worked out for the good of Job, did it not? Amen. Job said that. He said, I know. I'm in the fire right now. But when I come through this, I'll come forth as gold. Right? Purged. You know what I mean? Dross in my life being burnt and purged out by these huge sufferings. But he is at a point, and here's what I want you to see. It is beyond his ability to bear with it. He's falling apart. He does not have the strength to stand against the persecution, against the trouble, against the problems, against the pain, against the suffering. It's too much for him. And look what he says. And after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. God has got him like them people said, I'll make you wish you had never been born. And God has taken him there. That's what he's going to say. I wish I had never been born. He said, he cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. You know, like in A Wonderful Life. How many's ever seen that movie? Huh? Anybody ever seen it? Come on now. I know about all of us have seen that movie. And what did they do for him in that movie? They showed him what it'd been like if he had never been born, right? Huh? Look at all the people that was going to suffer because he had never been born. He was going through some stuff. He was troubled. He was afraid. He just knew he was going to prison. He fell apart, did he not? That's what's happening to Job right now. He's cursing his day. He wished he had never been born. But what if he hadn't ever been born? What if we didn't have an example? How many of you have went to Job in many times and got encouragement out of the book of Job? It's one of my favorite books. I see so much great stuff in there that's helped me when problems come into my life. As Brother Melvin just prayed just a minute ago, God, you're in charge. And it's for our good and it's to your glory. And so, I'm yours. I've been bought with a price. Whatever you want to put me into, you have the right to do it. And you are doing what's right. And you can rest on this one thing. When you fall apart, God's not. Amen? We read over in the book of Acts. You remember when the ship broke up? They was on the ship and Paul said, I've heard from God. He said, we're all going to make it to shore. Amen. We're all going to live. I'm here to tell you all, we're all going to make it. Amen. We're all going to make it. You saved by the grace of God, you're going. Amen. You're going to make it. I don't care. And it said, on broken pieces.
You might be a busted up, broken piece, but praise God, you're going. Amen. God got you. You're going through.
Amen.
He said, I got you. Don't worry about it. Amen. And I know it hurts when we love loved ones, but they're not ours. They're God's. And He loves them a whole lot more than we do. Our love oftentimes is selfish. We want them here for our benefit, not theirs. I remember telling a fellow one time he was all mad with God because God had took this young girl about 8, 9 years old with leukemia. I said, boy, ain't you selfish? Well, I told him. I said, here she was. God took her to be with Him, and she's in a perfect place. You know what I mean? No suffering, no problems. And you will get mad at God for doing that for her. He said, well, I never thought of it like that. Well, I said, we need to think about things like that. I said, that's our problem. We don't think all the time. We open up our mouth, just like Job's friends are going to do here in a little bit, and really say things that are stupid. I'm one of them. You know them stupid things you said before? You said, well, I wish I could gather that feather up. Huh? But it's too late, ain't it? It's out. It's gone. Blowing with the wind. Here we find him right here, and Job opened his mouth, he cursed his day, and Job spoke and said, let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined into the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up in the morning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof of dark, let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. He's falling apart. It's too much. He's not able to handle it. He's wishing for death. He's desiring never to have been born. Why cried I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now would I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. When kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling. Amen? And there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter of soul? Ain't that the truth? The Bible says, and you remember Solomon said this, he said, in much knowledge there is what? Much sorrow. In much wisdom. You know, there's a lot of grief. He said that child, when it died young, it never entered it. It knows nothing about the suffering in this world. He said, it's at peace. And you know what he is? He's almost jealous. Because that's where he wants to be. The very thing that he wants, God's not going to let him have. He wants to die. He's in such pain, such agony, such misery, such sadness. He just wants to die. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? Well, that's what he said. That's where I'm at. God has hedged me in. I can remember all the things that I knew before, and all this trouble is upon me, and I don't even know why. And God won't talk to me. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which was I afraid of is coming to me. And here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only is sometimes the trouble that we may face in life beyond our ability to bear it. Look what he says right here. I was not in safety. Neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Now look. I know we're safe in the arms of Jesus. I said, we're going over. We know that. And he knows that too. He said, we'll read later where he said, though the death worms eat this body yet, he said, I'm going to stand in the presence of God in a new body before God. I know that. I know there's a resurrection. I know that I am the Lord. He knows that. That doesn't mean, though, in this life, there's things that we're going to suffer that is beyond our ability. As our preacher said many times, people say, well, God never put more on you than he can bear. That's not true. It's not true. Sometimes he'll put you things on you that you cannot bear, so you will come to him. And say, God, I can't deal with this. And then you have to learn to trust in the worst of times. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, what do you think Job would have done? He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't, the Bible hadn't even been read. He didn't even go to the Word of God. All he knew is what he had been told by the patriarch. You know what I mean? About who God is, and that God is good, and God is right, and man had sinned against God. But he knew he had been promised. Hey, all the way from Eve. What did they name her? They named her Eve. Why? She's the mother of all living. Amen. He's the God of the what? The living. Amen? Remember, he told them, you do greatly err. You know, because you say that there's no resurrection of the dead. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. There's a promise there of life. Everlasting. With God, and he's resting on that, and he's trusting God, but it's beyond, he physically cannot bear this anymore. The pain. Oh, I've seen them in agony. If it wasn't for morphine, they'd just be screaming. You say, what's the point of that? And he also said, I was not in safety. We looked at His possessions, he was a very rich man. They couldn't save him for what came upon him. He was a family man. He was a religious man. He was an upright man. They couldn't help him, you see. I don't care how good, upright you are, when it comes down to it, that's not going to sustain you. It's not going to be enough. It's a good thing to have it. Wealth is not a bad thing. Neither is it a bad thing, you know, to be upright and moral and religious. That's a good thing. But it's not going to help. His family couldn't help him. His family. He had seven sons and three daughters. And they were swept away just like that. Gone. And when all was gone, what did he do? He fell down and worshiped God because he knew there wasn't but one place he could go. He knew who is in charge. We gotta learn to depend on that, because I know that God will do right. no matter what comes. And I can't trust anything. I'm not in safety. Now, there's nothing in this world that makes me safe. My soul is secure in Christ Jesus only. But in this world, Jesus has already told us, you're going to have trouble. You're not safe from it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming into your life. He's warned us. He told us over and over again. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, suffer anguish, suffer physically. It's coming. And you're not in safety. Your soul's safe and secure with Jesus Christ. But you're not safe from suffering. It's coming. You need to go ahead and realize that and go ahead and begin to pray to God about it. Lord, I'm yours. I don't know what's coming in the future. I just know one thing. You're going with me all the way, and you're going to see me through it. I might fall apart. I might even lose. I could lose my mind. I've seen it. I've seen it happen to people, haven't y'all? Have you seen your loved ones grow old and their minds grow feeble and they lose their minds and do things that you would have never believed they would do and say things you never believed they would say? But guess what? No matter what's happening, God's Lord with
them. Amen.
He's with us. He will sustain us. His grace indeed is sufficient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Jim.